One of the verses that I read to you this morning was from the Gospel of John, chapter 9 and verse 4, which said, I must do the works of him that sent me while it is day. For the night cometh when no man can work. Lord, I just pray that you will touch your word to our hearts this morning, and that you will be exalted and you will be magnified and glorified.
My Lord.
We pray it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. My second reading is from Exodus chapter 1 and verses 15 to 17. Then the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whose name was Shephora, and the other, Pura, when you serve as midwives to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a son, you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but let the children live. The title of my message this morning is There Is More For You To Do. It might seem a strange title for a sermon, but it's what the Lord has laid upon my heart. There is more for you to do. The reason I like this particular word that the Lord has implanted in my heart is because the work of the people of God, who are the disciples of Jesus Christ, their work is never finished until the Lord calls them home. In plain terms, when you are a Christian, there is no retirement. We know that the age of retirement for general employment used to be 60 for women, 65 for men. I understand that's all changed now. But when you're a Christian, you are a Christian until you die. And therefore, we have to continually let our light shine before men as Jesus did. For he said, I must do the works of him that sent me while it is day. That means while he was living on this earth, he continued to do the work of his Father. And it's important for every one of us to understand that when we are the disciples of Jesus Christ, we are to be not only followers, but we are to be workers. Now, one of the meanings of retirement is departure. At no time do we ever cease to be a disciple of Jesus, because once we are a disciple, we are a disciple until the end of our days, providing we are totally committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it is my intention this morning to go through the lives of Moses, and then I want to mention Elijah and David. And I want to show to us this particular truth, that there is more for you to do. As we observe the life of Moses and the events that took place in his life, it is worth noticing that had Pharaoh had his way, then Joseph would have been killed as a baby. I remember a great sermon many, many years ago in our international convention through one of our pastors who's in glory now, named Gordon Weeks. And the title of his message was, Kill the Kids. Kill the Kids. And it was all about Pharaoh and what Pharaoh wanted to do. But how wonderful it is that irrespective of what men want to do, it's great to know that God always does what he wants to do. And so I want to mention this morning about Moses, Elijah, and David. However, the hand of divine providence was directing the affairs of Moses' life from the moment he was born until the moment that he died. And what I want us to do is to go through 13 points in relation to Moses this morning and this situation, which will culminate in there is more for you to do. So let us look at the emerging situation. The background to this situation has to be looked into, for it forms the basis, really, of this message. After being in Egypt, the nation of Israel came under the deep scrutiny of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh, because of the increase in the birth rate among the Hebrew people that were increasing at a rapid rate, Pharaoh and his nation became afraid they would be overrun by the Israelites. So Pharaoh issued this edict to the midwives of Egypt. And he said that all male children born to Israeli women should be killed at birth. He began the process of ethnic cleansing. It's the first time we come across this ethnic cleansing anywhere. Was when Pharaoh wanted to cleanse Egypt of Israelite boys. It was something the midwives refused to do. They refused to participate in this particular act because they feared the Lord. The first instance of ethnic cleansing is this. Pharaoh wanted all Israel's boys to die at birth. But God had his plan and he had his purpose. So this must have thrown the people of Israel into deep despair. Must have thrown mothers into great fear and dejection as they contemplated the implications of what would happen as a result of Pharaoh's persecution. So what we see next here is not only this emerging situation, but we see the emergency move. We read that the mother of Moses, after he was born and heard this news, the children were to die, she placed him in a basket covered in pitch, which made it waterproof. She then puts him in the River Nile in bulrushes. She recognized he was a proper child. And Hebrews 11:23 says this, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was beautiful and they were afraid of the king's edict." For 3 months, he was in this basket in the River Nile. This was the drastic action that was taken by Moses' parents. This was an emergency move to save their son. Little did they know that this emergency move was God-inspired. And I like God-inspired ideas. I don't like the ideas of men or the ideals of men when it conflicts with the things of God. And this was a good God idea that they put Moses in this basket and placed him in the River Nile. And this was an act moved by God. This emergency was inspired by God because Moses was to feature primarily in the purposes of God in Israel being released from Egypt. As the story unfolds, and it's a great story to read. As the story unfolds, God had seen to it that Moses' sister was employed as a maid of Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh's daughter was moved one day, again, moved by God, by the Spirit of God, to take a walk by the River Nile. And as they walked by the River Nile, she heard a baby weeping. And she went and found Moses in the basket. And she turned to Moses' sister, who she didn't know at that time was Moses' sister, because God had placed her in a strategic position to preserve Moses' life, because God is a God of providential care. And people who are in the providential care of God's grace, they are moved by the Spirit of God to be preserved. And Moses' life was preserved because God strategically had placed Moses' sister in a position of employment under Pharaoh's daughter. And she takes the little baby, Moses, out of the basket, and she turns to Moses' sister and said, "Find me a Hebrew lady who will look after this baby." And guess what happens? She takes him and she places Moses in the hands of his mother. Isn't that remarkable? So God inspired Moses' parents, first of all, to place him in the basket, in a waterproof basket in the River Nile, employs the daughter, Moses' sister, in the employment of Pharaoh's daughter, who then places Moses in the care of his mother. How wonderful that is. What a great providential, loving, caring God we have, don't we? Pharaoh's daughter then raised Moses as her son. So Moses was educated in the affairs of Egypt. A Hebrew boy brought up in the courts of Pharaoh, being educated fully and completely in all the affairs of Egypt. Growing up into manhood. And at this stage in his life, he knew that he was born a Hebrew. He knew. And at this stage, he visits where his people are working under taskmasters. Because Pharaoh had the Israelite people, the Hebrew people, working, building. And Moses visits where they are one day, and he sees an Egyptian mistreating one of his brothers. And he said to the man in the wrong, "Why do you strike your companion?" And he answered, "Who made you a prince and a judge?" Preceding this, Moses had seen an Egyptian beating and abusing an Israelite, a Hebrew. And Moses took the law into his own hands, and he kills the man, and he buries him in the sand. And Moses never thought that anybody had seen him do this unlawful act. And so when he goes the next day and visits his brothers, he sees two of them arguing. And he says, "Why do you strike your companion? Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you mean to kill me like you killed the Egyptian?" The secret was out. Moses had been discovered. He had killed an Egyptian, thinking it was in the dark and nobody knew. But one of the Israelite people knew that it killed an Egyptian. And he confronts him with it. And so what we next notice is this, that Moses goes into exile in Midian. So we begin this story of Moses, where we find there is this emerging situation. Then there is this emergency move. And the next thing we find is his exile into Midian. Moses leaves the security of Egypt, fleeing for his life because of the Egyptian that he had killed. He was afraid that Pharaoh would find out, that Pharaoh would find out that he was a Hebrew, and that Pharaoh would destroy him. And so he fled and he ran away to Midian. And it looked like the end for Moses as he fled to a foreign land. He goes from a prince in Egypt to looking after the sheep of his wife's father. So Moses, whose life was in the hands of God in Egypt, his life preserved by the providential care of God, suddenly flees from the purpose that God had in his life. And he flees and he runs away. And he runs away, believe it or not, from the purposes of God. And I want to tell you this morning that it is possible for you to run away from the purposes of God if you cannot face up to your responsibilities. And Moses was afraid, so he fled to Midian, married a Midian lady, had children, Ephraim and Manasseh, and looking after the sheep of his father-in-law, Jethro. So from the prince in Egypt, he went to being a shepherd in the wilderness. What a difference from being arrayed in all the splendor and all the robes of Egypt to wearing just an ordinary shepherd's clothes, looking after sheep in a wilderness. This was what happened with Moses. The luxury of living as a prince in Egypt was over for him. His dream of helping the Hebrew people appeared to be a distant dream. The reason for his birth and upbringing in the courts of Pharaoh was that he was to bring Israel out of slavery into freedom. The mistake he made was this: trying to bring to pass in his own strength the purposes of God. And you cannot bring to pass the purposes of God in your own strength. And because of that, it resulted in him fleeing from Egypt and becoming an exile in Midian. And he was there for 40 years. For 40 years, he was in the hands of God in Egypt, being prepared for the moment when he would bring release to the people. For the next 40 years, he was in exile, ran away from the purposes of God because he was afraid. However, God had not finished with him. There was more for him to do. And let me tell you this morning, you may have run away, fled from the purposes of God at some point in your life, but God wants to bring you back this morning. Because he wants to bring you back, because there is more for you to do. So important. There is more for you to do. However, because God hadn't finished with him, and there was more for him to do, one day he was looking after the sheep of his father-in-law when suddenly he is captivated by a remarkable sight. And he had seen this sight many, many times before, but this one was different. He had seen many a bush being consumed by the sun in Egypt, being set on fire. He had seen it in the dryness of the desert. But he saw something different about this bush, because this bush was burning, but it wasn't being consumed. And so his curiosity gets the better of him. The curiosity would have gotten the better of any of us if we'd have seen something like that. And so what he does, he begins to draw near to it. And suddenly a voice speaks to him: Moses, take off your shoes from off your feet, because the place you are standing is holy ground. The presence of God. And the presence of God was there right beneath the feet of Moses. And haven't we sung this morning about your presence? And here we are in his presence, beneath our feet. We are in the presence of the Lord. We are standing on holy ground. And there are angels all around. And here's Moses standing on holy ground. And the Lord speaks to him, because his curiosity got the better of him, and he drew near to the bush. And the voice tells him what to do. Moses, I'm the God of Abraham, I'm the God of Isaac, and I'm the God of Jacob, and I'm your God. And there's more for you to do. I want you to go back into Egypt. Retrace your steps. Go back to the purpose for which you have been born. And do you know every one of us has a purpose when we are born? God's purpose. And if you have gone away from that purpose, it's time for you to come back to that purpose so that you can continue to do what God has determined to do through your life. Because there's more for you to do. There's more for Moses to do because he was the choice of God to do it. And nobody else was chosen to do it except him. And there are things, you know, that only you can do because God's hand of purpose is on your life. And so at the age of 40, Moses leaves Egypt, fleeing away from the purposes of God. At the age of 80, God calls him back and says, I haven't finished with you yet, Moses. But I want to tell you this one, it doesn't matter what age you are, whether you're 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, or 80, or 90, there's always more for you to do in the purposes of God. And so at the age of 40, he goes away. At the age of 80, he comes back because there's more for him to do. And he confronts Pharaoh and gets him after all the miraculous signs and wonders that had been performed in Egypt to release the children of Israel. And they travel out of Egypt across into the Sinai Peninsula. And so what we have then is the exodus from Egypt. So what we have in this story of Moses is the emerging situation. You have the emergency move. You have his exile into Midian. And lastly, you have the exodus from Egypt. For the next 40 years, he led Israel through the wilderness of Sinai until they reached the promised land. So for the next 40 years, he was back where he should have been at the very beginning, right in the center of the purposes of God, and God led him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, cross the Red Sea into the Sinai Peninsula, where God met their need and blessed them, believe it or not, for the next 40 years. And Moses was with them all that time until the Lord called him home. And the Lord took him up onto a mountain, and there God allowed him to see the promised land. But Moses himself died, and God buried him. So in this story, we see a man who was born specifically with the purpose of God in his life. But there came a moment when he fled from that purpose and went into exile. But then God challenged him and brought him back to that purpose for which he had been born, because there was more for him to do. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Let me tell you this, there's more for you to do, you know.
Yeah.
More. Yeah. I'll speak to you now just for a few minutes on Elijah, because I've majored on Moses. We've gone through his life story very, very briefly. It's a great story to read. Never ceases to move us when we read it, to see the providential hand of God caring for him. But we read in 1 Kings chapter 16, we read of Elijah destroying the prophets of Baal. Elijah destroyed the prophets of Baal. And he flees for his life because Jezebel threatened him. If you know the story of Elijah, he confronted the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel and said to them, you call on your God and I'll call on my God. And the God who answers by fire, let him be God. They built an altar to their God and nothing happened. And Elijah taunts them and says, well, perhaps he's asleep, perhaps he's gone on a journey, perhaps he's too busy. Elijah built his altar And then he told them to dig a trench around it, pour water on it, and pour water on it, and pour water on it, get it really soaking wet. And then he called upon his God, and the God answered by fire. Fire came down and consumed the sacrifice, and he destroyed the prophets of Baal. And because he had done this, the king went to Jezebel, his wife, and told him what Elijah had done. And Ahab told Jezebel what he'd done, and she threatened his life. And guess what happens? Elijah, this man of God, standing on Mount Carmel, calling down the fire of God, destroying the prophets of Baal, runs away from a woman. Right? He runs away from a woman. She must have been a fierce woman for Elijah to run away from. And listen to what happens to him. And Ahab told Jezebel that what Elijah had done, and how he'd killed the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent messengers to Elijah, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not take your life as one of them by this time tomorrow." So he fled and he ran away. And we find him beneath a bush. And he turns to the Lord and he says, "Lord," he said, "let me die." He is this great man, used of God to destroy the prophets of Baal, runs away from a woman, sits beneath a tree and says, "Lord, let me die." He ran away from the purposes of God at that moment. "It is enough, Lord. Take away my life, for I'm no better than my fathers." He sat beneath this tree. He said, "Let me die." But the Lord hadn't finished with him, because there was more for him to do. Even though he ran away, there was still more for him to do. And the Lord sent angels to feed him. I heard this many, many years ago. He was the first man to have angel cake. It's true, isn't it? I thought you'd like that, Pat. And the angel fed him and he slept. And the angel fed him and he slept. You see, what happened to Elijah was this. Elijah was in a depression. And God knows that the only way to recover from depression is by receiving the right food or medication and resting and sleeping until you've recovered. And that's what God did with Elijah. And so there comes a point in his life then where there's more for him to do, because the Lord restores him to full health and strength. And the Lord tells him to go and stand on a mountain. And on this mountain, he heard the wind. He heard different noises. But the voice of the Lord and the presence of the Lord was in the still, small voice. Yeah. And the Lord then says to him, "There's still more for you to do." And the Lord said to him, "Go and return your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive there, you shall anoint Hazael king over Syria." See, he went from underneath a tree to a mountain to a cave. Under a tree, on a mountain, in a cave. And the Lord said, "Now it's time for you to get up and get going." And so he got up and he got going and he went in to the land and he anoints Hazael king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi you shall anoint king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, you shall anoint to be a prophet in your place. There was still more for him to do. Even though he ran away, God, in providential care, brought him back to that place where he was used again in the purposes of God. And so there's more for you to do. If there was more for these men to do, there is more for you to do. And lastly, I think of David, the king of Israel, and what he did. Committed adultery, had the husband of the woman he committed this sin with killed. He repented, God forgave him. Why? Because there was more for him to do. There's more for you to do, dear ones, this morning. You may have wandered away from the Lord at some point, feeling that the Lord could never use you because of what you have done. Look what Moses did. Look what Elijah did. Look what David did. But the Lord restores him. David sinned, but the Lord restored him. So everything that matters is the purposes of God. And the sovereignty of God is what is the overruling fact here in the lives of these men. God in sovereignty worked on Moses. In sovereignty, he worked on Elijah. In sovereignty, he worked on David. And in sovereignty, he can work on you. Because, believe it or not, there is more for you to do because God has not finished with you yet. Let us pray. We just want to say thank you, Lord, this morning for the truth that comes out of your word, that even when people have gone away from your purpose, you by divine election and purpose, you have brought them back and they have fulfilled your plan and your purpose in their lives. And I pray, Lord, this morning that if there is any here who have drifted away from your plan and your purpose, that you will bring them back to you now, Lord, because there is more for them to do. I pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'll ask the worship team to lead us in a song. And if it is that you feel that the Lord has spoken to you this morning in some particular way through this little message, I just pray that you will take the courage of your conviction this morning and come and say, I recommit myself to Jesus because there's more for me to do.